This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
A Chubby Checker for you. You know, he's the kind of guy that you think about maybe because of the New Year's. It's a good choice. Dancing around. Do you like to do that as you approach New Year's on New Year's Eve and all that kind of stuff? Good morning and welcome to FreedomWorks, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, surviving Christmas, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us on this Friday, December 27th. So we're kind of between, aren't we? We had Christmas 2 days ago. Another 5 days, we got New Year's. I don't know what you would call it. I guess we're in the eye of the storm. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about how, despite what Tucker Carlson said on Fox News not long ago, CEI... His organization has been a consistent defender of deregulation, government deregulation. I guess there's a little dust-up about that. So we're going to talk about that. And will the Democratic Party try to impeach Donald Trump again? The House Judiciary Committee has mentioned the possibility. Does that sound right? Fair? Huh? Well, we're going to ask the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, what does he think about all of that? And speaking about that, did Donald Trump last night out the whistleblower? Did he out the whistleblower? We're going to talk about that on the show. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10. And you know how you try to have good spirit, especially around Christmas holiday? We're going to give you the top 10 rudest cities in America. Do you live in one of them? You're going to find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. And it really is. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Not only because the haircut's great, the experience that Andrew and his crew have guarantee you're going to get a great haircut, but the price and the ambiance. They're all terrific. They're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. And don't forget also, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Right on the front, it shows you who we're going to have upcoming guests. And you can listen to us anytime because Big Ed, who's a technical genius, has figured out how to put our show on the website. All you do is click on the podcast button. And he shows you the top 10, and he shows you who our guest is. It's really great. So go to ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, freedomworks.com. Okay, we got a lot going on, as per usual today. I guess, you know, Tucker Carlson is usually pretty conservative on Fox News. He's on 8 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, in the evening, Eastern time. And got a great rating. In fact, I guess he's between he and Sean Hannity, they are the most listened to talk show hosts on cable. And for some reason, he's gone after the Competitive Enterprise Institute, saying they have not been consistent on government deregulation projects. So we've got Ryan Young, who's going to talk a little bit about that. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. In the meantime, Republicans, I guess they're feeling the positive vibes. They are becoming increasingly confident that they'll be able to hand Donald Trump a bipartisan acquittal in his impeachment trial. With 67 votes needed to convict Trump, which is not going to happen, of course, everybody knows that, and the outcome of a Senate trial all but guaranteed, GOP senators are broadening their sights as they plot their strategy. They think they'll be able to pick up one or two Democrats, by the way, to vote against the impeachment and the conviction. So if nobody, and you know, they've been touting Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski out of Alaska and the senator from Maine, whose name always eludes me, who was a moderate Republican, I guess you could say, those two, they're going to probably almost convincingly, they're going to vote against the impeachment. So you're going to get all of the Republican senators right there. That's more than half the Senate. All the Republican senators voting to throw out the impeachment charges. One of the others that they've talked about, Senator David Perdue, has declined to say what he thinks or who he thinks will flip. But he says, I think we might have a couple. So he's not so sure. I don't want to speculate on who they are. Obviously, that puts too much pressure on them. But I guess he's talking about the Democrats. He thinks at least two or three of them are going to flip. Well, I'm sure they will, including our buddy in West Virginia. Mitch McConnell predicted that several would break ranks, but he doubts any of the Republicans are going to break ranks. So we'll see what happens. Of course, he hasn't got the impeachment documents yet. They're still in that medicine cabinet of Nancy Pelosi next to her dentures. I wonder when she's going to bring them over. She's going to have to do it pretty soon. I guess after the holidays, there'll be enough pressure on her. But in the meantime, apparently, the House Judiciary Committee is talking about adding impeachment charges. Now, can you imagine? People are so tired of this, and they're going to find out. They're going to try to find other charges. But Republicans are saying they're getting ready for it, and they think that the Dems will overplay their hand. They were already upset at Nancy Pelosi over her decision to not hand over the impeachment documents. And now the Judiciary Committee, that's the one, by the way, that's run by Jerry Nadler, not by Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff runs the Intelligence Committee. So the Judiciary Committee might come up with some additional impeachment articles. I guess if they could get their sweaty little hands on Donald Trump's tax returns.
There's a contradiction of words.
What's that?
The name Shift and Intelligence in the same sentence.
He's not dumb, though. He might be nefarious. He might be whatever you want to call a person that's out to get somebody else. You know? That, yeah. But I don't think he's dumb.
I don't think he's
dumb. He might be crazy. You know, some of the smartest people in the world are nuts, right? Well, we always say that anyway. In their own way, some of them can be very, very crafty and intelligent, right?
And Nancy's just keeping the documents warm, like a mother hen sits on them, keeps them warm.
I see.
Probably breaks them out at the holiday party.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll all be celebrating, you know, the ball dropping in New York and everything. And then and inside the ball as it comes down will be the impeachment.
Come out of the ball.
Come out of the ball. No, she'll come out of the ball with the impeachment.
Have denture goo all over them.
Yeah, right. Oh, God. Well, you know what? Before we get too crazy, let's take our break. We'll be talking a little bit more about this, by the way, with our proprietor of the barber pole. But first, I'm looking forward to this. We're going to talk with Ryan Young about Competitive Enterprise Institute's fighting consistently against government regulation.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on the Friday before the Wednesday and after the Wednesday. So we're between holidays, are we not? Well, we're delighted to have Ryan Young find some time to join us this morning. And he is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which has always been a defender of deregulation in the federal government. And look how Donald Trump has been working on that. And look at the difference it's made. You know, things just probably have not been better in our lifetimes for in many cases with the way business is humming along. But Ryan, apparently Tucker Carlson thinks that, among other groups, CEI has not been fair in certain ways with what's going on and regulation. Could you explain why he has a little bone to pick with your organization?
Yeah, looking at it from his point of view, he's viewing things, he sees a concentration of elite power, and he wants to see a more level playing field. And as far as that sort of thing goes, we're actually on the same page. We just have different ways of going about the issue. In particular, he views the big tech companies as the current axis of concentrated elite power that he wants to go up against.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't see the segment. Yeah, I didn't see the segment. So is he talking about, like, whether or not they are now controlling what we are able to say or see, you know, that kind of deal? Is that it, a kind of a freedom of speech thing?
Yeah, he views tech as essentially being anti-conservative, whether it's Facebook or Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post's often critical coverage of the president, that sort of thing. He doesn't view it as being amenable to free speech or being fundamentally fair.
He wants more balance, I take it. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, and he views the way to do that is through regulation, okay. Which, if you look at it from a broader, longer-term perspective, where's the real concentrated power? It's in the government. Now, let's suppose that you would re-implement some kind of fairness doctrine and the Republicans now in power. Just for the sake of argument, they implement it fairly. The level of political discourse improves. It's more balanced. It's more civil. Republicans aren't going to be in power forever. Eventually, the other side is going to have these cool new powers. And I don't think even Tucker Carlson thinks that they would use those powers fairly. So I think what he's doing is he's thinking short term. He's not necessarily thinking beyond the 2020 election. And that kind of short termism could ultimately be very harmful to the level of discourse that he wants to raise.
Right. Now, I'm going to read just a couple of things that your president, Kent Lassman, had to say, because he responded to what I think he perceived as a little bit of a dig and a cut from Tucker Carlson. And he says, since its founding in 1984, the Competitive Enterprise Institute has opposed government regulations that interfere with property rights, free-flowing prices, and consumer choices. We've consistently opposed regulations both supported and opposed by industry. So so your president, Kent Lassman, is saying, you know, we've kind of stayed in the same place no matter what. You know, it doesn't make any difference who's currently running things. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah, yeah. For example, right now we're opposing a lot of the proposed antitrust revival regulations that are coming from both the right and the left, mainly targeting those big tech companies. So Tucker Carlson sees that and he sees, oh, you guys are being funded by them. You're just taking their side for that reason. But again, he's only thinking in the moment. If he goes back just a few short years, we opposed net neutrality regulations, which most of the big tech companies wanted.
Right.
Because if those are in place, they don't have to invest in improving and updating their networks. They can just free ride off of their competitors. You can see why this would be a bad idea, because then no one would invest in maintaining or improving networks. It's a bad policy, and that's why we opposed it. So we are consistent in our principles. We always have been. We always will be. And just...
We are who we are. If people want to come along for the ride,
you're welcome.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I remember the net neutrality issue. I was very much not in fear of it, but very much against the idea of having the government get. You know, the great thing about the internet and all of this stuff that's going on is that it's just, you know, every other month we got, you know, some new technology being added. I mean, you go back 5 or 6 years, and it's not because the government's involved. In fact, it's because the government's kept its hands out of that whole area that we've been so innovative, in my opinion. You know, there are not regulations that are stifling that industry, right? Yeah.
And the whole reason we're taking up the mantle and fighting against an antitrust revival is because what's going to happen when government implements all these regulations? Companies are going to game them in their own favor. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg has openly called for government to regulate Facebook. That's smart on his part, because then Facebook can use that to write the rules in their favor and entrench themselves as a permanent incumbent. We don't want that. So we oppose antitrust regulations, which will inevitably be gamed by the very companies being regulated. It's a long-term game, not a short-term political moment. Yeah. And I think that's where Tucker Carlson is really mistaken here.
Yeah. By the way, we're talking with Ryan Young. He's a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We've been having people like Ryan on over the years, and they always deliver. And, you know, you think about freedom of speech. And this is the thing that's being corrupted, it seems to me, not just on campuses. We talk about, you know, these colleges that are stifling it for certain groups. But especially on the internet, you worry about... But you have to balance that, do you not, with private property rights. So let's say a Google decides in its own way that it's going to stifle one side of the political equation in certain areas. And they've been charged with doing that. But yet I think, okay, but you don't have to go to Google. And Google shouldn't be, just because you might think that they have, you know, a political axe to grind, or, you know, a political persuasion they want you to hear, there's other things you can go to, because it's a free market economy. You know, it's just like you don't have to go to the same gas station if you don't like the guy there, or, you know, whatever they're doing. You can start having choices, right?
That's exactly right. And just as Google displaced AltaVista and Yahoo, something else could very easily come along. And if Google does gain a reputation for gaming its search results and compromises its own integrity, its integrity is its livelihood. If it loses that, it loses everything. For as much of an advantage as it has right now, that is absolutely temporary. I mean, you just look at a top 10 list of tech companies from 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, and a lot has changed. Facebook has surpassed Friendster or MySpace. Something else might come by because Facebook's own reputation for privacy is, and deservedly so, not very good.
Right.
So they, 10 years, and along with their aging user base, who knows where they'll be in 10 years. So any antitrust action against them is severely short-sighted. Same thing applies with Google, Amazon. Someone else could come along and do it better. What we have to do is exactly. Let the competitive process work instead of freezing it in place with regulation.
Exactly right. I've always reminded of what Milton Friedman once said, and I think he said it in his book, Free to Choose. The only organization that can really create a monopoly in business is the federal government. If you don't allow them to get in and start determining who's doing what, and allow the free market to work, you will actually have the competition that you should have and would want. But once you, it's like when they decided AT&T was going to be our long distance carrier for the whole country, right? And the prices went zooming up because it had no competition. It was the government that created the monopoly. And I think people forget that. If you allow the free market system to work, you won't have monopolies in the long run, right?
Exactly. Nothing is more temporary than a free market monopoly. If you really want to stand up to concentrated power, it's in Washington. That's what you have to be wary of.
Right.
You have to engage it with the utmost caution and with a very long-term, sober point of view. And I think Tucker Carlson has a lot of work to do on that front.
Yes. I found him to be a little quirky. Although he does get a lot of people listening to him, he's been rather vocal, I think, in defending the administration in most cases. But he does go his own route. So I know that your organization has probably been at the forefront of free markets. And you don't even get really involved politically that much, right? It's strictly from the economic business point of view as an organization.
Yeah, our loyalty is to principles, not to party.
Right, right, exactly. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you so very much for coming on, especially between the holidays. I hope you're having a good one. And we always appreciate you and your organization standing up for free speech in the world of business. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. All right. There he is, Ryan Young. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, the proprietor of the barber pole, I'm sure, has something to say about what is going on with additional charges of impeachment against his favorite president.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new, Let's Go Bowling Show, gobowlingshow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. We are back and delighted to have our buddy, who's getting better every day, by the way, because of some great surgery that helped his nagging back condition. But Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, did you have a good Christmas?
Well, I had a great Christmas, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. I think
I told my wife next year we're going to take a cruise during the Christmas season and get out of here.
You know, I did that once with my then wife, and it was really a great idea to get away from everything. And we were living up in the Chicago area at the time, so we appreciated the warmer weather when we did it. But that's a good idea. I hope you I hope you do that. So go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, with so much going on these days, I can't believe that the Democrats think by trying to construct additional impeachment charges that they are not going to have anything but a complete disaster. Can they not? Do they not? Do they have a tin ear when it comes to what the people of America are really believing?
I don't think they have ears, Paul.
They have what?
I think they have no ears at all. No. They're not hearing nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
they're not hearing nothing. They need to go get some hearing aids.
Yeah, I mean, it's they are really playing. They are really risking. You know, I'm thinking, and I've thought about this. I wonder if it could be so bad for them that, in a way, it could destroy the Democratic Party as we know it. With the, you know, with the way it's being tugged to the far left to begin with. And then they go after Donald Trump after, you know, I mean, we're...
Paul, the far left is in control now of the Democrat Party, Paul.
It seems
That's
like it.
The problem. There's no... See, Pelosi is not pulling the strings. They're pulling the strings on Nancy Pelosi. She is now their puppet.
She is. I think you're right.
Okay,
I think
she is now their puppet. And again, Paul, you know, this impeachment stuff, it's not going nowhere. They can do everything they want. I just don't understand how anybody cannot step in and put an end to this crap, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, you would think that the Democrats themselves, the ones that are a little bit more straight-thinking, would start to realize it. First of all, do they not see that they are losing the blue-collar people to Donald Trump? Do they not see that they are losing union people to Donald Trump? Do they not see that they are losing blue dog Democrat types to Donald Trump?
Well, look at the black population now. They're at a 37% rate for Donald Trump.
Wow.
Okay, that's the highest any black people have ever been toward a president, you know, a Republican.
Towards a Republican,
president.
Right.
Okay, wow, I mean, the Democrats have lost all control of everything. They're putting this country into a tailspin. We're lucky we got Donald Trump at the controls because he's not taking their crap. Okay, and, you know, as far as Lisa Murkowski goes, you know, they leave things out. She was upset about McConnell saying, well, we're going to have the White House involved. Don't get me wrong. I believe she's a Republican. Okay, they got pictures of her and Dianne Feinstein together talking about things. They leave out things that she has also said she wasn't happy with the way that the Democrats handled their trash. She's not happy with nothing, Murkowski. She needs to find a good man in her life, I believe, because she's not happy about anything.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But again, like the other day, I mean, things are firing up in Virginia, Paul. I'm keeping a very, very close eye on this.
On Virginia?
And Virginia, and they are neglecting. You know, Michael Bloomberg put in $250,000 to do something for the prisons there to accept the people that are not going to hand in their guns. Okay?
So
Michael Bloomberg is pulling the strings in Virginia.
Now, wait, let me understand this. Bloomberg is setting up a prison
He put in $250,000 to expand something with the prisons, okay, there to handle more adults that won't turn in their guns.
You mean they're going to throw adults that refuse to turn their guns into a prison? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He won't do that.
No, they're supposedly setting up the prison. They're not adding on to them.
Well, that's not going to happen. People that want their own guns,
this is what I'm saying.
I mean, Bloomberg would be literally slitting his own throat if he was.
Oh, he does it every time. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, you got him, you got Soros, you got some big money here, Paul.
Well, you're right.
And he's in control. He's in control of Virginia, and I'm telling you right now, I told you before, Virginia was a big part of the Revolutionary War, a big part of the Civil War, and I think there's going to be something happening there, and it's not being out in the news. You don't hear too much about it.
Yeah, you brought this up.
This morning.
Yeah, you brought this up before about Virginia, as in there's going to be some sort of a revolution that starts there. I mean,
Paul, it's very... And have you researched it all?
No. I mean, I haven't seen much about it, but are you getting this from one of the news sites that you constantly...
I'm getting it from Fox News itself, from One American News. Okay?
One American News, yeah, that's where...
And Fox, it was on Fox News this morning. What's his name? Northrop, I believe, the governor, right? He was the one that was, let's let the babies die, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right, he put the blackface on when he was younger and the whole
that's
bit.
That's right, there you go. So there's a lot going on there.
So Northrop, is he threatening to incarcerate people if they come for their guns? Is that kind of what you're getting at? Okay.
Yes. Hmm. Okay, they're threatening it. I mean, it's all over the news. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
Well, I know that there's always this gun control thing going on, but that was a big staple of, you know, the confiscation of guns. That was a big staple of that guy that was running on the Democratic thing before he dropped out, kind of that Moonbeam character from Texas. I can't think of his name now. How quickly they fade. But anyway, I want to ask you something about Donald Trump threatening to go to California and figure out a way to solve their homeless problem. Isn't that, I mean, I can understand that people are getting very upset with the homeless situation in California. It's horrible. In the major cities there.
Well, they've got people pooping in grocery stores.
I know. So it's terrible. San Francisco, L.A., San Diego.
I mean, are they proud of this?
Of course
not. This is what they want to turn the country into. They got to be proud of it. It's Nancy Pelosi's territory.
But, yeah, it is. She's up there in San Francisco. But does the federal government have the right to step in and say you're not running things correctly in this city? That's more of a state and local right, correct?
I would believe what you're saying is correct, but if they aren't handling the job right and the citizens are upset, what do you got to do? You go to your next step of government, don't you?
Well, I'm thinking that if it's that bad, and people, by the way, and we've talked about it, people with any kind of business or, you know, some money in the bank are thinking twice about staying there because the cost of living is going up and they see their money being wasted and these homeless situations in all the major cities. I mean, they're destroying a beautiful state. So people are pouring out that, you know, have resources, and it leaves the poorer people there. So it's just, you know, it's kind of like what's going on in some states in the Northeast, right?
Third world countries.
Yeah.
That's the word you're looking for.
It's becoming. Yeah. So, I mean, I can kind of understand the frustration. And I also know that whatever his name is, the governor of
Newsom,
Gavin Newsom, he doesn't get along with Trump, and Trump, you know, is kind of what do you want to say? He's kind of making Newsom look real bad. So there's kind of a two things going on there at the same time. But don't you think he should just let them, if they're not going to fix things, people?
Well, I would just pull out. Listen. If the federal government cannot have a say of what goes on there, I would pull back all federal funding.
Okay. Yeah, and that's
very simple, right?
And especially when they violate federal law, like when they say that they will not allow ISIS people, and I'm not talking about the
terror. ICE.
ICE people, excuse me. ICE people. Going in and arresting, you know, these people that sneak across the border because this is now a sanctuary. Yeah, then I can see where the federal government can say, well, if you're not going to allow us to carry out federal law, we're not going to send the money to you.
That's right. Well, they would consider it a quid pro quo, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I would say so. You're probably right.
But, let's face it. You know, California has fallen to hell. There's no question about it. Now, you do have some good citizens there. What do? You abandon these people?
No, you don't want... You're absolutely... In fact, it's so large. They got 30 million people there. They probably have more conservatives there than any other state as well. It's just that large, right?
That's right.
Okay. I want to go... one other thing. Donald Trump, last night, retweeted an article which contained the name of the whistleblower. Now, we have mentioned that guy's name on here before. His name is Eric Sciaramella. He worked in the Biden administration. In fact, now there's information he might have actually accompanied Biden on a trip or two to Ukraine. Would you believe that?
Yep.
Anyway, so Trump retweets this article which contains Sciaramella's name. And it happened after Trump's campaign reelection account, the Trump War Room, engaged directly with Mark Zaid. He is Sciaramella's attorney. Now, the attorney had blasted Marsha Blackburn. She's a Republican senator from Tennessee for her attacks on Sciaramella and called on her to step down from the Senate. So that's where all of that started. But it gave Donald Trump an opportunity to retweet the article with that guy's name.
You know, Paul, on One American News, okay, you know Rudy Giuliani, right?
Never met him, but I know
Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani went to the Ukraine, and he has uncovered all kinds of things that have been going on there.
Right.
Okay, now they've been having a special on One American News. I've been watching it the three nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Where Rudy Giuliani is on there. He was on there with three witnesses from the Ukraine, and these people were all part of the government there. Well, I want to know why is Rudy Giuliani, they have him on One America's News, which is a limited audience, talking about this stuff, and Fox doesn't put him on there. Something's going on. I'm smelling a rat between the two.
Oh, you think
but
Fox?
Giuliani, mm-hmm. Giuliani's got all kinds of information. I mean, you need to pull this up and check it out. The interviews with Rudy Giuliani, all the stuff that he's letting out, all the information he has got on who got what, how many billions of dollars were laundered through there, Paul.
Yeah. Well,
got all this evidence, but they're not turning it loose anywhere but on One America's News, which is a very limited audience.
Yeah. Now, Fox News used to have Rudy Giuliani on every other day. He was on. He was a favorite, of course, of Sean Hannity, and he still is. And I know he'll come on there once in a while, but you're right. Maybe... But Giuliani might be going over to One America News because I don't know if there's a relationship he's developing there or they pay him to come on or, you know, whatever it
but,
is.
But the information that you got, Paul, if they turn it loose, you're going to see it all.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. They're not publicizing it at all. They're keeping Rudy Giuliani pushed down.
Well, Fox News actually on their website talked about Hunter Biden laundering money through the Ukraine connection that he had with the energy company, that he was actually taking money that was coming from Burisma, the energy company in the Ukraine, and actually laundering it through various things. And that was one of the reasons that apparently, if you believe the story, which they still haven't completely verified, that was one of the reasons they hired Hunter Biden.
Well, Paul, according to Rudy Giuliani, there was $5.3 billion allocated to the Ukraine. And he has got a list of where all this money was laundered back to these people here.
$5.3 billion, wow.
Not a whole total of $5.3 billion over the years. Okay?
Yeah.
Not in one shot, over the years.
Right.
And who has been funneled to, how it's been funneled to. Listen, you got John Kerry involved in there. You've got... Nancy Pelosi's son is involved in there. Joe Biden's son is involved in there. The Mormon's son, what's his name there?
Oh, Romney?
Romney's son. There's so many people involved in this, Paul.
Wow.
Okay? And they're not turning it loose. They're keeping it under. Rudy Giuliani, I guarantee you, they're setting up a hit on his head. And look at what else came out in the news. I don't know if you read about this, but there was a $100 million hit on Epstein's head when he was in jail the second time. And they have it where the money was funneled through and where it got to certain people to take care of the situation.
Okay, is there a connection here with the Ukraine deal? And
well, it goes through Russia.
Epstein? Oh, it goes through Russia? Okay.
It went through Russia, and money was put here, money was put there. One guy had a $7 million house built for him in California being built. So there's a lot going down to this, Paul, but they're keeping it hush-hush. And I really believe this impeachment thing that's going on is just a distraction to try and keep people away from this. And if you watch it, you can see how the people are being quieted.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that gets a little sticky, but I know for sure that the media has been complicit in keeping Hunter Biden's nefarious undertakings out of their pages. And that is for sure. And they are defending and censoring what's going on with Biden.
That's right. And I think 2020 is going to be a very explosive year, Paul.
Yeah.
In many ways. Very explosive.
Wow. Wow.
You got this going on in Virginia. Like, this whole impeachment thing is a bunch of bullcrap, Paul.
Yeah.
We all know it. The people know it. They're fed up with it. Tax money being wasted. Criminals being covered over. This is worse than the mob wars ever were in the 70s, Paul. This is our country. They're tearing it apart. And again, I say, they made the mafia look like Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have, as Betty Davis once said, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride, right?
Yep. And another question. Yeah. I know you get a lot of information from the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah, we get them on quite a bit.
They've been under fire a little bit on OAN.
Oh, really? What are they doing or not
they're
doing?
They're talking about the Heritage Foundation is starting to lean toward the left. A bit. And I forgot what they were talking about, what they were doing, but a lot of the people that are involved with the Heritage Foundation are starting to lean toward the left. This is what they were talking through the grapevine on OAN.
Well, there was a connection at one point, or at least there was the implication that the Heritage Foundation was backing Romney's health care plan in Massachusetts when he was the governor there. And the Heritage Foundation was like saying that there was some good things in it, and people started to worry that the Heritage Foundation was becoming more government, you know, control
right.
philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
So some of that, and I can't disavow that they indeed did like some of the things that Romney was trying to do, although generally, from what I can see, they've been pretty good about, you know, fighting for individual responsibility and less government control.
Well, I think the 2020, we need to keep our eyes open really big because we're being infiltrated from all angles, from all different things, believe me.
Well,
and
you know, you're always
explosive, buddy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right. We always have to be vigilant, right? You just always have to be vigilant no matter what. Just be careful. You know, you don't want to get paranoid, but you do have to be vigilant, no question about it. My friend, I'm looking forward because we're going to probably not talk with you on Monday, and Wednesday's New Year's, which we will take off. So that means I won't talk with you for a week, which means I'll be talking with you next on the air in 2020.
That's right, and we're going to see how explosive it starts off with, right?
Oh,
with a boom.
Absolutely, a bang, a boom, a whole bunch of firecrackers.
It's going to happen, Paul.
Well, we'll be along for the ride, you and I.
All right, buddy. You have a good day.
All
Take
right,
care.
My friend. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Andrew. Man, you know, it's funny. He always does worry about different little things happening like that. He's got a little bit of a conspiratorial sense. I guess you have to be careful, though. You know, you can't trust everybody all the time. Okay, let's take our break. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk end of the year football with our guru here, Big Ed, and the top 10 rudest cities in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. Here on a Friday. I hope you guys had a great Christmas, all of you that listened to our program. A wonderful Christmas, and are going to have a wonderful New Year. In the meantime, we want to bring our sports guru, Big Ed, in on the conversation about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got their final game, Ed, coming this weekend. They're going to be hosting the Atlanta Falcons at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. And I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Times, and they're looking at 10 years' worth of Bucs football. Don't know if you saw this, but in the 10 years... the last 10 years, 100 losses, 5 head coaches, 2 general managers, 2 franchise quarterbacks, 0 playoff appearances. I didn't realize it's been that long.
Yeah, 2008.
You're right. So that's actually 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't... So what's going on? Are we going to... Are the Bucks? Let's start out with this. Are the Bucks headed, in your opinion, with... the current management, et cetera?
No.
Okay, they're not. They're not headed in the right
no.
direction.
No. What they need to, with the Glazers, they're very smart. They're a very smart family. When they bought the team in 95, that's when everything was, all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted, that there was a football guy that was in place when Culverhouse died in 92.
Hugh Culverhouse.
They let Rich McKay, trustees or whatever it was, they let him run the team until they found an owner.
And he was involved with John McKay. And he was connected to John McKay.
That was John McKay's son.
Son, who was one of the first coaches for the Bucks.
And you have to remember, when they kind of said, okay, Rich, go ahead and run the team, this was before Tony Dungy, the coach, came. Now, in 93, he drafted John Lynch. In 95, they drafted Warren Sapp.
And they were two great players.
And also Derek Brooks, Hall of Famers. And then the Glazers decided to keep Rich McKay on. And they built that team, and they went to the Super Bowl. There was a rift in the front office, and Rich McKay left. Ever since Rich McKay left, they have never put a football person in charge. This is the guy that goes out and gets the players that they need, that manages the cap, the salary cap, and until they find that guy, it's going to be, you know, they just keep throwing good money after bad.
So we have to get rid of the general manager.
I would clean sweep the whole thing. Yeah, and he could take his franchise quarterback. You got to remember, I mean, Jason Light, the GM that's now, he's had some horrible drafts. I mean, bad. I mean, we just cut a guy this year that was a number one pick, you know, just a few years ago, in Vernon Hargreaves. But until they get a football person, it's just it's gonna
so
keep
we're not going
down.
In the right direction.
No,
we're not
because everything I'm hearing is they're going to find a way to get Jameis to stay at least another year. Now I've said all along, this could get sticky because Jameis may think that he deserves this, which means a long-term contract.
Top.
5 years. I want 5 years. I want 5 years, $20, $25 million.
And but the, you know they're not going to give him that based on his performance.
They don't have to. They could franchise him for 1 year and say, oh, let's just try him another year. Franchise him for the franchise fee. It's going to be about $28 million for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's the fans that are saying, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Wait till next year, you know.
Yeah. So it doesn't bode well.
I don't think so.
Oh, boy. All right, my friend. Thank you. You can take off your sports guru hat, put on your top 10 hat, because you got to go over to the drums. We have the top 10 rudest cities in America. And what are you doing? Attacking
the flies? This gnat has got a bad attitude in here.
He's going to be
a personal vendetta against...
Ooh.
I'm going to get him.
He's going to get him. Yeah, there you go. Well, hit him with one of your drumsticks.
Right.
Top 10 rudest cities in America. Business Insider study of 2,000 adults surveyed. Okay, here we go. Number 10. San Francisco. We're not surprised. They got a homeless situation that makes them even ruder. Okay, number 9. The city of brotherly love, Ed. Philadelphia. Your favorite city, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Number 8. Another one going through some very rough times, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Lots of shootings in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. Number 7, Buffalo, New York. I always thought
really?
They would be friendly in Buffalo.
There's some crazy people up there in tailgating. Jumping
out,
jumping off roofs of cars on the tables and stuff.
Yeah, but they're jumping into snowbanks.
No, on a table.
Oh, they're crazy.
There was some craze about belly flopping.
On a
boy,
you got to be
table.
You got to be really drinking a lot of stuff to do that. All right, number 6, Detroit. That's another city that we worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 5, Boston. Wow.
Really? They win a lot of champions. They should be pretty happy up
there.
Yeah,
you'd think they would be. But Boston's always been rude.
Yeah.
They've always had a reputation, unfortunately, of being rude to you.
Yeah.
It's not that they dislike you. It's just that they're rude to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, number 4. Now, this one is the only one, Ed, from outside of the East. Chicago. And I always thought Chicago's Midwestern atmosphere made it a little less rude.
Hmm.
But apparently it's ranked 4th in being rude. So they've gone through some tough times. Number 3, Washington, D.C. You notice all the cities are the big cities?
Yeah.
And, hey, if I had government people running around me there, I'd be rude too. Number 2, Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Los Angeles is very rude. 20% of the people that were surveyed said L.A. was the rudest. That's pretty high, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ed, I want you to tell me, what do you think is the rudest city in America?
I'll go with, let's say, in the Northeast. I guess New York. I don't know.
Okay.
New York, New York.
You ready?
Yep.
The number one rudest city is... New York.
Is it?
Yes, and not only that, 34% of the people said it was the rudest city. Wow. I didn't think it used to be considered as rude as, say, Boston or Philadelphia. But now it's number one, and it's number one with a bullet.
Well, you know why? They can't have that big gold drink anymore.
Well, see, that's what happens when you have people like Bloomberg running it for so long. Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, everybody, thank you so very much. We're going to be back on Monday. So have a wonderful weekend, drive safely, and always remember, freedom works. Whoa.